G'day and welcome to Conversations on Faith FM with Robbie, Alicia and Brad. This is your place to explore faith, life and everything in between. Text in your thoughts on today's conversation on 0488 185 00. Now, get ready to join the conversation right across Australia, right here on Faith FM. Hello, Australia, and good afternoon, and welcome, of course, to Conversations here on Faith FM. My name is Brad, and I'm here with Robbie today, and we are very excited to be with you. If you are listening live, today is Monday, the 14th of October. So, mate, there's not much of the year left, I don't think, really. Robbie, I don't know how you're feeling about that, but I kind of look at it and I go, I'm struck. Where's the year gone?
I am super running out of time for this year. It's just going by way too fast.
I feel like
the year has already ended and I'm trying to catch up for what I've missed out.
Yeah, I get that. And kind of the same boat. But I wonder if that's just something that everybody feels as well. Like, do you ever get to the end of the year and you think to yourself, I've accomplished everything I set out to accomplish this year? Or is it always just a case of, oh, no, I'm always just kind of playing catch up?
I don't know. I feel like I've lived most of this year either in the Qantas lounge at airports or on planes. That's what I feel like. I've done, I don't know, I lost count at about 70-something flights this year. And I've got about another 16 to go. I divide my year up by flights. That's how I'm sort of reconciling it. And but the big thing we're preparing for, Brad, and we've got to tell Australia this in case they haven't been listening, we are preparing for our first ever event next Saturday, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, which I think is at the 26th. I've got to check my day now.
Yes, I think you're right.
I should know this. I've been living and dreaming it. 26th, next Saturday, not this Saturday, Saturday after, we are going to have about 46 Faith FM presenters and producers from right around Australia all converging on one location for the first time in Australian history, and that will be, drum roll, South Australia, Adelaide.
Amazing.
You were trying to find the drum roll, weren't you?
I was. Sorry.
So we are going to be in Adelaide on Saturday the 26th. So if you happen to be traveling to Adelaide or if you feel compelled to come to Adelaide to meet about 40-something hosts and presenters and producers from Faith FM, come down to Adelaide. Why am I frantic? Because this week is my last week of preparation, and I'm coordinating this thing. I've got a couple of assistants helping out with it, but it's all coming together. We've just finalized all the sort of last accommodation details for those that will be requiring accommodation. But the day's going to be amazing. It's going to start at 10 a.m. on Saturday, and it will go through till about 4:30. And it's because there's so many people coming, like we're expecting over 800 people coming so far. So it's going to be a pretty big deal. If you happen to be in Adelaide and you want to come along, lunch is going to be BYO picnic. So bring your food and be a big picnic in the park next to the event. But there is a special opportunity.
Ooh.
There is a place. One of 30 seats are available as a giveaway to have lunch with the Faith FM crew.
Ooh, nice.
They will be in this, they'll have a lunchroom sort of thing set up for them. And we have 30 places. That's it, only 30. And so it's basically you've got to go enter into a draw to be able to spend lunch with the presenters. So if you want to do that, you need to take out your phone and send a text message. So I think the text message was lunch. I think it's just...
Yep, that's the one.
You just text in the word lunch.
Hey, text lunch text to get lunch.
Any of the shows. On this show, you can text it to... What's the number, Brad? Remind me.
It's 0488 185 00. For those who are watching on Facebook or YouTube, I'll chuck up a little banner so you can see the number and you can make sure you can text in pretty easy.
Yeah, so text in the word lunch. And it'll ask you for your name and I think it asks for your contacts. And you'll go into the draw. We're going to announce this weekend who the 30 people are. You'll be contacted if you're in. And, you'll get to have lunch with people like Brad, a national producer of Faith FM.
Very exciting.
People like Lawson, Scaffy from The Breakfast Show. There'll be Shell from The Breakfast Show and from afternoon shows. There'll be Danny from Looking Up. There'll be Lloyd and Hunty from Aussie Pastor. The whole crew from Drive Time will be there. So Ricardo and who are some of the other guys there? We've got David, Nick Kreder, a whole bunch of people there. Tassie Encounters, Jason Cook, David Leo, Tamika Spaulding, they'll be there. There's going to be a bunch of people from all over the place. So if you want to join us, you can come for the whole day, 10 o'clock to about 4:30. We'll be finished. And if you want to go into a chance to have lunch with us, you can text us in. And if you're watching this on Facebook or YouTube, you can see the banner that Brad has just added to the video feed. By the way, we should mention we are live on Faith FM right across Australia, but also at the same time, we are on social media. So if you want to see Brad's amazing beard that he's been growing, and he's
I see it took you a couple of seconds to figure out what to actually say there, Robbie. Thank you.
I didn't know if I should focus on the locks first or the beard, so I went with the beard and with the locks. Very nice of you. Yeah, check us out. And the great thing with being on Facebook and YouTube is you can post your comments. We'll see them in real time, and we'll do our best to answer them. I've seen some interesting ones already. There's so I don't know if this is a joke, but someone has called. Username's called United States Secret Service FBI. Says hello. Well, thank you, United States Secret Service FBI. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Sal from has just posted here, yo, question about the new iPhone 6. 16, sorry. Yeah, I'm not sure what the question is, but maybe, hey, it's maybe a conversation.
We've got so popular, Robbie, that we're getting bots, I think. I reckon that might be what it is.
Yeah, we've got but another one. It says, it says, are you ready for Tesla's Optimus? I don't know. Hey, if these are real, if you guys are real and not bots, tell us what day it is. Text in, and if you tell us what day it is, then we'll respond to you.
Well, the good thing is, whether you're a real person or a bot, we always have free offers on the show, and even bots could potentially claim a free offer. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm not sure I've seen that happen yet. I'd be interested to see them try. Hey, by the way, today someone said Sunday. It must be a different part of the world.
Yeah, maybe.
Ballyhooty. Hey, thanks for texting in, Ballyhooty. You're either an incredibly smart bot or you are actually live in a different part of the world. Thank you for checking in
thanks
and joining us.
Thanks for tuning in either way.
If you have missed any of our previous conversations where we talk about what's happening in Australia, what's happening around the world, and how we can connect it to faith and how we can navigate it with faith, if you've missed any episodes, you can get the Faith FM app from your app store. Go to the podcasting section, look for Conversations, and you can listen to anything that we've talked about in the past couple of years that would be on the show. And the great thing, Brad, they can still claim the offers.
Absolutely. Yep. There's probably the best part of 60, 70, maybe even more great free offers there that will help you grow in your relationship with Jesus and in your faith. And yeah. I'd recommend getting as many as I could get my hands on if it was me, but
yeah, I'd recommend listening to Conversations as well. It's a great show.
Absolutely. Well, you know, like we love giving away free things, free resources, free lunch. You know, how much better can it get? Hey, Robbie.
Absolutely. Hey, we better address the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
There is no Alicia once again.
That's true, but there's a good reason for it, isn't there?
Yes.
Alicia,
there is a good reason.
I'm pretty sure it's public knowledge, so we can say it. So Alicia is pregnant with twins. How cool
is
that?
Yes, it's official. So Alicia is preparing. She's not gone yet, but she'll be going in the next couple of weeks. She's preparing to go on maternity leave. And, she actually sent a really sad message this morning. She said, guys, you need to rebrand the show.
Oh, no.
Because I won't be around for the next, I think it's about 12 months, actually. But yeah, I'm not sure what we should. I think we should still call Conversations, but we need to have this chat and figure out. Let us know what you think. Alicia's going to be on maternity leave. She's coming back in about 12 months. Should we kick her out of the show, give it a different name, put another host in, or should we just, in honor of the great Alicia, should we keep her a part of the show and just every week remind everybody that she's away? What should we do? Text us in and let us know.
Maybe we can ask her. We could get we can have an extra camera and just get a cardboard cutout of her there. and just have it sitting there on the side, just so he thinks that she's there. Why not?
Yes. Hey, we got a couple of texts coming in from Facebook. They're pretty interesting. So Turtle.
Oh, YouTube.
YouTube, is it? So Turtle texted in saying, if you guys are really Australian, where are your mullets? I'm guessing this is an international viewer. Yeah, first of all, welcome, Turtle. Yeah. Glad you could join us. Yeah, no, I've never had a mullet ever.
Never had a mullet?
And I haven't had any friends with mullets either. So, yeah, not sure about that. Gary has messaged in on Facebook and said, I thought Brad was Jesus. I guess looking at the long hair.
That's very kind of you, Gary. It's a high standard to live up to.
And the question that we got, again, so this guy is not a bot. He's definitely legit. Bally Hootie, I think it is. He said, the question is, do you guys think the world is ready for the Tesla robot? That's a good question. We might pick it up in the course of this conversation. But, Brad, let's tell Australia and apparently the rest of the world who's watching this as well, what are we talking about today? You sort of picked the topic in the few minutes before we got on air.
Yeah. So I guess in Australia in particular over the last year, you know, you've been hearing things tossed around about, cost of living problems and, you know, people dealing with challenges with their mortgage and fears about climate change and, you know, danger under every stone that you turn, every corner, everywhere you look. And people are pretty stressed. Like I've seen it just in, you know, the people around me in terms of friends and that sort of thing. I've seen it in terms of people at church as well. You know, there's people who are struggling to pay rent. Sometimes people who are struggling with having lost their job, and we're just living in a world that seems to have a lot of problems and pain, really. And yeah. I guess, you know, I mean, have you been seeing that same sort of thing, Robbie?
Absolutely. Yep, for sure.
And I guess
go ahead. What are we going to talk about then?
Well, I was just going to talk about, you know, how does the Christian faith, how did Jesus deal with this whole problem of pain? You know, we live in a world that's full of pain, full of difficulty, full of stress. Does Christianity present any sort of answer to this? As opposed to, you know, a standard non-religious worldview or other religious worldviews. You know, what can we find in the Bible that's actually relevant and applicable for dealing with these problems of the pain and the stress that we deal with in life?
Big topic, mate. Big topic.
Yeah.
And I know it's very relevant. In fact, this morning when I did my my show, The Faith Experiment, I talked about some of this stuff on that episode.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a study I read, I think it was probably about 2-3 weeks ago, that mentioned that in Australia, 1 in 4 Australians have reported that they have chronic stress in their life, and it breaks down some of the reasons why they have that stress. And it's the typical sort of suspects, right? It's financial stress, it's housing stress, relationship stress. In terms of marriage relationships or spouse relationships, and the other area was in parenting, and so yeah, it's a very real and tangible problem here in Australia, especially in light of inflation and the cost of living and all those sorts of things.
Yeah,
and so yeah, it's a big topic, and we're going to have a great conversation, I hope.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, how about we go to a song, and then when we come back, we can start delving into it.
All absolutely. Right. Let's do it.
Let's listen to For King and Country featuring Rebecca St. James with a song called You Make Everything Beautiful. You're listening to Conversations here on Faith FM. Remember, you can text in at any point on 0488 185 00. That is 0488 185 00. And we'll be back with you just after this song.
Serenity to accept things, the things I cannot change. Grant me the courage, Lord, to change what I can, wisdom to know the difference. In my weakness you can shine, in your strength I can fly. And you make everything, everything beautiful. You make everything, everything new. You make everything, everything beautiful. In its time, in your time, it's beautiful. Grant me serenity, Lord, and patience, for things will take time. is beautiful.
You're listening to Conversations on Faith FM. Text in your thoughts on 04888 18500. That's 04888 18500.
That's right. Welcome back. That song you just heard there was For King and Country featuring Rebecca St. James with a track called You Make Everything Beautiful. Pretty cool song there. If you are listening live.
Yeah, nice song.
Yeah, really good one. If you're listening live, today is Monday, the 14th of October, 2024. We do love mentioning that because sometimes people are getting replays of the show or they're listening, you know, days, weeks, months later down the track. And, you know, we're just trying to keep on time with things. So you're not thinking that you're listening from the future or anything crazy like that. But remember, even if you are listening at some point in the future, and today for you is not Monday, the 14th of October, 2024, all of the free offers and things that we give away on Conversations, you can still claim. And if you send in text messages that are related to the content of this show, we read every single one of them. We're always very keen to know what you think and, you know, have you as part of the conversation. So feel free to always text in on 04888 18500. That is 04888 18500 if you'd like to join the conversation.
Hey, Brad, what day did you say it was? What's the date today?
Today is Monday, the 14th of October.
Wait, did you just say to tell you what happened on this day in history?
I would love to know what happened on this day in history. If it comes in a trivia format.
Of a quiz.
Yay.
I am way ahead of you, man. I'm ready for this. Okay, so listeners, if you don't know what's happening now, you are about to experience the greatest segment in the Conversations show. This is this day or today in history, but in Brad's new quiz format. So basically, here's how it's going to work. Yep. I am going to ask a question about a famous event that took place today in history, and I'm going to give you a number of options, normally 3 to 4 options, and then Brad has to tell us which one is correct. If you are listening to this, get ready. You can text in, you can post on Facebook or YouTube and join in, and you'll get a great prize of bragging rights if you get any of these questions right. Are you ready, Brad?
I am ready. Yep.
All right, here we go. Today in history, there was a very famous battle in the year 1066, and it was marked the Norman Conquest of England.
I should remember.
Which famous battle took place? Here are your options.
Yep.
A, the Battle of Stamford Bridge. B, the Battle of Hastings. C, the Battle of Angkor. Battle D, the Battle of Bosworth Field.
Ooh. I think I know the answer to that one. I'm pretty sure it's the Battle of Hastings.
Correct. Hey. And Gaznet on YouTube also got it correct as well, nice. With B being the option. Excellent. One for one.
Good job, guys.
All right, question number two.
Yeah.
Who was the first person to break the sound barrier on this day in 1947? Here's your first option.
All right.
A, Neil Armstrong. B, Amelia Earhart, I think it is. Mm-hmm. C, Chuck Yeager, or D, Yuli Gagarin. I think it's a Russian name. Yuli Gagarin. So which one? Gasnet has his option in already on YouTube. He's gone for... Well, you tell me who you think. Oh, you've just seen the note anyway. He's gone for C.
Well, I was going to say, so Neil Armstrong was definitely later on, although he was actually involved in some of those experimental rocket tests. So, you know, Amelia Earhart was the first woman to fly over the Atlantic Ocean.
Correct.
Yuri Gagarin was the first person to go to space. He was a Russian cosmonaut. So by
man, this Gaznet process knows of elimination, man.
Yeah. I'd say it has to be,
so it'd be
Chuck Yeager, was it?
Yes, Chuck Yeager. Answer is Chuck Yeager. You got it right, and so did Gaznet.
Nice.
Man, this Gaz, you're doing well. You even knew that Yuri was the first person in space like Brad did too. You guys are brilliant. There's a lot of stuff happened on this day in history. On this day in 1964, civil rights leaders won the Nobel Peace Prize for his nonviolent efforts in the fight against racial inequality.
Mm-hmm.
A, Malcolm X. B, Nelson Mandela, C, Rosa Parks, or D, Martin Luther King Jr.?
Ooh, okay. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun. So 1964, which 64. Civil rights leader won a Nobel Peace Prize for his nonviolent efforts in the fight against racial inequality? Hmm. Malcolm X, Nelson Mandela, Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah, I feel like with the date, it would have to be Martin Luther King, because Malcolm X was not the sort of person who won awards. I think Rosa Parks was earlier, and I'm pretty sure that Nelson Mandela was a fair bit later than the 60s, so I'll have to go with Martin Luther King Jr.
Correct.
Hey.
And guess what? Gasnet on YouTube got the exact right answer too. Man, you guys are doing this one for one for one for one.
I reckon next
time.
Okay,
I got one more for you. There's a few more things that happened, but I've got to move on with one more last one here. Qantas Empire Airways launched its first commercial flight to the United States on this day. Huh. In which year did this take place? A, 1945. B, 1953, C, 1967, or D, 1972. So Qantas Empire Airways launched its first commercial flight to the United States on this day. 45, 53, 67, 72.
I feel like it would have to be 72, but that's a tough one.
This is a tough one. I'll give you that. I'm waiting for Gasnet to post.
Yeah.
There we go. He posted. So he posted in C.
Oh, man.
He said 1967.
67.
You said D, 1972.
Oh, boy.
The correct answer is B, 1953. In fact, the clue in the question was Qantas Empire Airways. They dropped the empire after Britain became less important in Australia, which would have been in the 60s. Okay. Anyway, there you go. Hey, this was interesting, this day in history, because there was a lot of spacey type stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
Qantas, the speed of sound. Mm. Now, I don't know if you follow this stuff, but I'm fascinated with SpaceX and these sorts of things. Today, for the first time in human history, so I'll give you some context. You know, they're doing the Starship, right?
Yep.
They've been launching this Starship thing. They're trying to design this massive. It's a mammoth. It's like a 10-story building being launched. And they've done a few, I think it's up to number 5 test flights. And at each step, they've been incrementally improving their ability. Today, they launched it and they brought it back down and they caught it in a tower. The tower caught it as it was landing. That's what they designed it for. It's the first time in human history something's been caught falling out of the sky. So pretty big deal
for
the space industry today.
Yeah, I think I saw one of my mates who loves SpaceX as well was sharing some videos and that sort of thing. But I think I saw the takeoff, but I hadn't seen the landing. So I'm going to have to go and check that out.
It is impressive that computers are so sophisticated now that in real time they can adjust a maneuver to do something incredible like that. As a programmer, it fascinates me. So.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Anyway, Brad, I digress. That was our famous segment that this day in history.
Mm.
So where are we heading now, Brad? We've got to get into some serious stuff.
Yeah, I guess so. Hey, just quick shout out to Gaz because, we're on the same page, buddy. We both got 3 out of 4. So I think I wonder if next time we'll cheat and before Robbie sets up the segment, we'll go in and put our own question to ChatGPT and see if it gives us the same answers. Or maybe next time, Robbie.
No, when, don't do when that. That's not it, fun.
No, when you ask it for it to be like a. You know how there's that show called Hard Quiz? Have you ever heard of that one?
Is that the SBS or ABC or something?
Yeah, I think it's the ABC one. Where it's.
Yeah, I think I've seen it once or twice.
Yep. Where it's really just like really tough questions. I had a friend that went on it once actually, from my church, Lani, and she had. It was this. She her topic was the film Good Will Hunting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know if she got many of them right or anything, but yeah, there you go. I think maybe that's a question we can throw to people. What if you had to go on a trivia quiz show sort of thing, a really, really hard one, what's the topic that you would pick? Would you pick SpaceX, Robbie, or would you pick?
And I'd pick Bible, mate. I'd go for the Bible.
Fair enough. Yeah, yeah.
Bible or a computer language. That would be my two best shots.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
yeah.
Good. All right. Well, let's get into today's topic. That was a bit of fun.
Hmm.
But as we said in the introduction, as you did, Brad, there's a lot of difficulty happening in Australia, around the world, to be honest. But we live here in this part of the world, and there is a lot of people waking up each and every day worried, pain, stress, difficulties, as you mentioned in the intro.
Mm.
And what we want to do on this conversation today is we want to help explore this idea from a Christian perspective. Now, it doesn't matter if you're not a Christian. Maybe you're a Buddhist. Maybe you're a Hindu. Maybe you're a Muslim. Maybe you're an atheist, like I used to be one. And we know that we got a lot of atheists listening to Faith FM. That's awesome. You guys are just checking out and seeing what's our worldview. And no matter what your worldview is, we want to share with you from the manuscripts we call the Bible, from a Christian perspective, how there is some real tangible takeaways in this area of life. And that's what we want to unpack today.
Hmm.
So, Brad, where do you want to start this conversation?
Well, I mean, I guess one of the things I was finding interesting the other day is I had a friend who was going through a really stressful situation. And, everybody deals with stress in different ways, right? You know, for some people it's, I'm going to go and watch YouTube videos. And, you know, they spend hours, you know, entire days of weeks or whatever it might be, just watching through videos and that sort of thing. And that's kind of their way to sort of cope or wind down from the stress and the problems. You know, other people might play games. Other people might eat heaps of food, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, some of the coping, I mean, I don't know, I was going to chuck it out to you if there's other coping mechanisms you've seen where it's things like, you know, listening to music or trying to do exercise or, you know, sometimes people say, just focus on the positives in life. There's lots of different coping mechanisms that people have when it comes to stress. And interestingly enough, I saw statistically the other day that when it comes to actually seeking help from, you know, a family member or a friend or something like that to actually help you get through a difficult, challenging, stressful situation, statistically, it's only one in four people. So only a quarter of people, if they're going through a really tough situation in their life or a challenging or difficult situation, will actually seek help from somebody that they believe cares about them.
Okay.
Which, I mean...
Yeah, you know, I know I've seen people... Yeah, like I live in airports, right?
Yeah.
And there are so many airports that when you go to the bathroom and just above the... Anyway, on the wall, put it that way. When you're looking at the wall, there's all of these signs that say, like one in four men will deal with mental health problems. You're not alone. You know, contact this number if you're stressed or you're feeling down, feeling blue. Other ones like, so many people will self-harm. If you have these thoughts, call this number. And it seems like, and I go to a lot of airports, like all over Australia, and it's like every airport I'm going to, I'm seeing these things. And it's like, these ratios, you start to think, is it really this high? Like, you think about this, one in four Australian men, according to the last poster I saw, have thoughts of self-harm. Mm. Like one in four, that seems pretty high to me. But, you know, when you think about how that, you know, in a lot of relationships, men are responsible for bringing in income to, you know, pay the bills and those sorts of things. And, you know, there are a lot of relationships where it's equally split as well. It's really surprising. And, you know, your question about how people cope with it and how they handle it.
Mm.
You know, I've got friends, like guy friends, who the way they handle it is that they just don't talk.
Yep.
They just shut up and don't talk, and they get into, like I've got some friends, they're younger than me, but they get into like video games. Like that's their escape.
Mm. Yep.
And to me, I think that's pretty pointless, but I understand why they go into it. It's a bit mind numbing and you sort of don't think about your problems. Yep. I've got other friends, all they do, they just want to eat. They just, you know, sit down and just eat, like eat their sorrows away.
Mm.
Other guys, just start taking stupid risks because, like, doesn't matter, doesn't, don't care sort of thing. So, yeah, there's different ways. And, and ladies are probably different as well. You know, I know some lady friends of mine who their big thing is that they go cleaning. Like, they just clean. Like, they'll clean all night to 2 a.m. because they just don't know what else to do. It's like they try to – because you can't control the things, like, outside of your domain, you control and ultra control the things inside your control. And that is, you know, making sure the house is vacuumed at midnight and the washing is done at 2 a.m. and those sorts of things. So, yeah, different people have different ways to deal with it, for sure.
That's almost like
I think for me – yeah, go ahead.
All I was going to say is that's almost like the Marie Kondo thing on steroids, right? You know, when you're in, not just does it spark joy, it's like, well, nothing is sparking joy in my life, so therefore everything must go.
Yeah, for me, before I was a Christian, whenever I had stress, and I'm a sort of person that thrives on a fair bit of stress. It sort of makes me perform above my average. But prolonged, I can get pretty irritable if I have that stress for a long period of time. And so the way I've always dealt with it is I will work my backside off and distract, like in distraction mode almost, like tunnel vision. But then my typical method is I used to be able to predict it probably a month, 2 months of that, and I'll end up snapping. I'll lose it with a coworker.
Yep.
I'll lose it with a relationship that I'm in or family or someone. And after a big, like, volcano eruption, then it all sort of mellows out and I get back into the cycle again. Okay. But as a Christian, that's changed. Mm. Being a Christian's changed that for me a lot.
Yeah, that's interesting. I know for me, you know, in terms of how I deal with stress, it's kind of like I can just cope with it for a while, but eventually I'll just get into a very low state where I'm not that interested in talking to anybody. I'm just kind of annoyed at everything and everybody. And, you know, it's very easy to just kind of view everybody as being against you and just kind of piling stuff up onto your plate.
Yes.
But it's interesting, you know, I guess, you know, from the perspective of someone as a Christian, I often find that the more time I spend, you know, reading the Bible, the more time I spend praying and seeking to be in connection with God, or even being out in nature, things like that, the more it kind of shifts away from that. So
that calms you down a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems to be one of those things that the more I, you know, try and think about Jesus and what he's done for me, it often puts into perspective whatever it is that I'm going through. And equally, it reminds me that God's love for me doesn't change based on how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Which I think exactly. Is pretty neat.
Hey, there's a comment on YouTube from a crafty girl. She says, a man of faith is a good man no matter what religion he is. And that's an interesting view. Before I was a Christian, I used to be an atheist. And, it was a struggle to deal with some of these situations in my life. But I want to go back. There's another comment here by Gaz, once again, our amazing guru. Gaz mentioned that Jesus prayed when he was stressed. And I think that's a really interesting point. And maybe if we start with that idea and we can build upon that as we unpack this a bit more. If you've got a Bible there, Brad, do you want to pull up? There's three specific things I want to talk about in light of what Gaz just mentioned, Jesus praying. If you look at Matthew chapter 4, we'll look at three sections, Matthew 4, Luke 23, and Matthew, I think it's 26. There's three different locations we'll look at.
Yep.
Because all three locations it shows how Jesus handles a stressful situation or a difficult situation or a painful situation. And the answer is he prays, just like Gaz has mentioned. But there's something uniquely interesting about those three different occurrences. So if you want to look at the first one, Matthew chapter 4, this is what we call the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. You can kind of just start in verse 1 and sort of pick your way through it. Don't have to read everything.
Sure,
but just give us the gist of it and maybe look at – so the three temptations, what the temptation was, and then we'll look at how Jesus responds.
Okay. Yeah, sure. So, we'll just go from the start. So, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he was fasting and he became very hungry and weak. During that time, the devil came and said to Jesus, "If you're the Son of God, tell these stones around you to turn into loaves of bread." But Jesus said, "No, the scriptures say people don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took Jesus to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the mountain of the temple. He said, "If you're the Son of God, jump off, because the scriptures say God will order his angels to protect you, and they'll hold you up with their hands, and you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." But Jesus responded to the devil, "The scriptures also say you shouldn't put the Lord your God to the test." Next, the devil took Jesus to the peak of a very high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. The devil said, "I'll give all of this to you if you'll kneel down and worship me." But Jesus responded, "Get out of here, Satan, for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil went away and angels came and took care of Jesus.
All right, cool. So this is the first instance where Jesus has a difficult situation in his journey, I guess, in the recorded journey. And why this is important is because it gives us a first sort of insight into how Jesus deals with human issues, human struggles, human pain, human temptations, human worry. And then what we see is we'll see in the next example there's only three examples, and they're all related to what Gaz mentioned about how Jesus prays. Okay, so if you look at this particular little story, right, so the three temptations, what stands out to you when you read that, when you just read it now? I know it's a familiar passage to a lot of Christians, mm-hmm. but what stood out specifically?
Jesus is in a pretty stressful situation, the way I look at it, right?
Yes.
He's in a situation where I guess there's that thing called Maslow's hierarchy of needs or something, isn't it? And it's like you have your most immediate needs, food and water and shelter. You could look at it and you could go, well, it seems as though Jesus's most immediate needs is he's been fasting for 40 days, so he's starving.
Yeah, exactly, right? So in this situation in the wilderness, he's experiencing, like there's a comment now, I'll just read the comments before. It says, "Do you think it's more challenging to live as a man of God today compared to when Jesus walked the earth?" And then there's other questions here around that sort of line of thinking. And I'm thinking about this. The challenge here is not so much it's not so much the bread, right? I mean, he's definitely hungry. He's been 40 days. Bible specifically mentions that he's hungry.
Yep.
There's a temptation here to exercise a power that we don't have. So he's supposed to be man, but he's supposed to be man with God power, right?
Sure, yeah.
But he's not using God power to live as man because he's trying to show how to be an example as a man. Mm-hmm. And so the temptation here is quite interesting. It's a temptation to do something beyond the ability of humans for the benefit of self, which is basically, I mean, we could spend hours talking about this one thing. But here's the point I want to take away. In this first example, Jesus's handling of the stress was turning to scripture. He was handling the difficult circumstance. In all three instances, he turns to scripture. That's the solution for him. He's facing a difficult problem. He turns to the scripture, okay? So remember that. In the first instance, he turns to scripture as the solution to his problem. Let's go to the next instance. Let's go to Gethsemane. So if you go to Matthew chapter 26. Mm-hmm. And verse 36, you could be reading a lot here, but we'll just skip a little bit here. Let's find the spot here. Okay, let's look at verse 38.
Okay. Jesus told them, meaning his disciples, Peter, James, and John, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death, so stay here and keep watch with me."
Okay, so you describe it as a pretty trying situation, right? A pretty painful, pretty stressful. Mm. It's pretty anxiety because he knows what's coming. I mean, he's got the ability to see that the cross is coming, the controversy is coming. I mean, that's why he says, leading up to this week, that I'm going to be taken by the Pharisees. Like it's going to happen. So here, this is the night of it happening. This is the night he gets taken and arrested. And he says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. Now, he says, even to the point of death, right? So you think about this. How many people out there are dealing with situations where they could say, you know what, my soul is exceedingly stressed. You know, I know I was talking to an Uber driver the other day, come back from the airport, and you know, he's a civil engineer. That's what he's trained in.
Yeah, right.
But he lost his job. It was a government job, and the government's downsizing, and so he lost his job. And now he's driving Uber and he's got two kids. They got a private school, and he's just stressed trying to earn enough trips to pay for his kids' tuition. Otherwise, he's going to have to pull them out of private school. And you know, people are stressed, is my point here, right? And so Jesus is identifying, like, this seems to even be more stressful than the wilderness.
Mm.
In the wilderness, he's dealing with temptation, and his response is, hey, it's written, the scripture says. But now he's like, I can't handle this. This is to the point of death. And then if you look at verse 39, if you want to read that real quick.
Yeah, so verse 39 says, Jesus went on a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground, saying, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. But I want your will to be done, not mine.
Exactly. Now, we got a comment here on YouTube, I think it is from Crafty Girl, who says, hey, as a Muslim, we're taught about Jesus and to love and respect Jesus. And Jesus is mentioned in the Quran more than Muhammad. Now, that's pretty accurate, in fact. Like the Quran, I've read the Quran, I've studied the Quran. It does talk about Jesus in a very positive light. In fact, it talks about even his gospels. It talks about how that he's a good prophet. He's a prophet of God. But what's fascinating is that in this passage, he is directing his attention to the Father. You know, if you're a Muslim, you call it Allah. For Christian, we call it Elohim or Jehovah is God here. And he says, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup. Now, the cup here represents the trouble, represents the pain, represents the stress, represents the uncertainty. Let it pass from me. Now, that's where most of us would end the sentence, right?
Yep.
God, take away my trouble. Take away my pain. Take away my problems. But Jesus doesn't stop there. What's he say after that?
He says, but I want your will to be done and not mine.
Right. And this is the key, right? So in the first instance, how did Jesus handle the difficult circumstance? He turned to Scripture as the source of encouragement. In this second instance, when he has this difficult, pressing situation, I want you to notice the key here is submission. He submits to the Father's ultimate will. He is... we would say as a Christian that our lives are hid in God or hid in Christ, which means that we're submitting to God to let him do as he wills because we can't see the outcome, but we trust that he can. And so we're submitting to that. So there's two instances so far of Jesus' example. One, in some instances, all you've got to do is turn to Scripture for encouragement, for promises, for instruction. In some instances, though, you've just got to submit.
Hmm.
There's no point. Like, the turning to the Scripture is not going to help. You just got to go, God, I know what I would like, but if it's not your will, I submit. I just submit to what's happening here. So that's the second one. And here's the third one. So really, I thank you, Gaznet, for prompting us here to talk about how Jesus prayed. Here's the last one. Let's go to the cross. Let's go to Luke chapter 23, verse 34.
Mm-hmm.
Luke 23, verse 34. And, you know, in the Quran, it talks about Jesus' cross experience. There's a little bit of difference to what the biblical account teaches. But nonetheless, in Islam, it actually talks about this cross moment too. Now, at this moment, this is the pinnacle. This is the whole reason that Jesus has come, according to the biblical account. Now, read verse 34, and let's see how Jesus handles this third instance.
Yeah. So Luke 23, verse 34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. And there were soldiers gambling for his clothes by throwing dice.
So this is similar. It's similar to the submission, but this is what I would term as the term entrusting,
entrusting,
which is basically like submission is like, okay, do your will in my life. But entrusting, so here on the cross, what Jesus is doing in this prayer is he's entrusting his life to the Father, even when it seemed like the Father was far away. So he can't feel him. He can't see him. I mean, that's the point of the cross, is to be separated from the Father, because he's taking on the consequences of our action, which is separation from the Father. So here, Jesus is showing three examples of dealing with difficult situations. In one type, you turn to Scripture. Another type, you just submit. And the third type is you entrust yourself to God, even though you can't hear him, even though you can't feel him, even though you can't sense him in the situation. And see, as a Christian, we can do that because we trust what the Scriptures say. When you're not a believer, like I wasn't, I used to be an atheist, I had no framework for any of this stuff, right? So I'd get angry one time. You upset me, I get angry. I lose my job, which I actually did. I got retrenched in the early 2000s. I worked for a tech company, and they outsourced our job to India. And my colleagues, they were furious. They were cursing and swearing at management for firing us right before Christmas. I was a Christian at that point, and I was just like, well, whatever will be, will be. God is in control. And so it makes a difference on understanding how Christ modeled this as our example, so that we're able to follow that example as we start dealing with difficult situations in our life.
Yeah, I think that example of forgiveness is particularly important and powerful, because, you know, I've definitely found in my own life, when I'm insulted or stressed or angry at somebody else, the longer I hold on to it, the worse I feel. And maybe you've felt something similar. And it's only when I choose to say, well, I'm going to not only just forget that this thing happened, because, you know, you can try to forget, but something sets it off and, you know, a few months or years down the track, it comes and smacks you on the back of the head again and you're mad again. But it's only when I really choose to forgive the person who's insulted me or hurt me or caused me pain or stress, following Jesus' example of doing that, you know, at the most stressful, painful moment of his life, that I find freedom from that pain.
And like looking at in a summary of these three instances of Jesus, and Gaz, thanks for bringing those up. He's saying you can give a problem to Jesus when you can't see a way out. Exactly right. And the thing I learned from Jesus in this example is that his life was one of constant communion with God. And he did that through what we call prayer, right? And prayer is really just a conversation. It's the ongoing conversation of you with God. And it doesn't have to be on your knees holding your hands folded and eyes closed. You could be driving in the car having a conversation. You could be thinking as you're sitting in a boardroom. You could be, talking to him while you're swinging a hammer on a construction site. It's the life of the soul. The way I love to see this is in the creation of humans in Genesis 2, God, he forms Adam out of dust, but then he breathes into him breath. And it says it's the breath of life. And think about this. Every time you're breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out, you are keeping that life going in some respects. Like you could choose to hold your breath until you pass out and die.
Yep.
But everything in your system is going to do its best to fight that and to keep that breathing happening. So the way we need oxygen and air for our physical life, prayer and this communion with God is like that for the spiritual life. We're constantly breathing in that communication with God. So Jesus' life was one of communication with God. There's no way as a follower of Jesus you're going to handle situations of stress and pain and difficulty if you're not having a constant communion with God. Starting in the morning, finishing when you go to sleep, just constant communion. Now, that doesn't mean you're not paying attention to anything else. It just means as regularly as you're breathing, you're talking to God in communion. That's the first thing I take away. The second thing is Scripture. Jesus turned to Scripture. And you think about this. When you have a difficult situation, how can you have strength in God's promises if you don't know them? So, you know, in the Jewish faith, we've got a lot of Jewish people listen to Faith FM. and we love having you listen. But in the Jewish faith, it was extremely important for children to learn the scriptures. Sometimes it was probably got to the point where it was just, you know, rote learning and you did it because you had to do it. But the power of doing that act was the scriptures, which is the word of God, the promises of God, are locked into your mind. And when difficult situations come, you've got a repository of power to call on. You know, like I think as a Christian, I think of all things work together for good to them that believe and love the Lord and are called for his purposes. There's no temptation that's common to man, but God will make a way of escape. No matter, like, you store up this scripture and then you're able to rely on it in difficult situations, and Jesus demonstrated that. The third thing Jesus demonstrates is his whole ministry, he was around in community. He had his disciples with him, and he drawed strength. Like in that Gethsemane scene, what did Jesus do? It didn't work so well, but what did he do? He went to his friends and said, "Can you pray with me? Pray with me." Now, they all fell asleep eventually, but he turned to us for help, and I think we need to turn to each other for help, for encouragement, for prayer. And so, yeah, and then the last thing is he just trusted in God's plan. He said, I commit myself to you, over to you. I can't do any more. It's to you. Your will be done. I trust my soul to you. And so we see these four things in Jesus' example: prayer, which is the communion, constant communion with the Father, power of scripture in the mind, the encouragement from having support around you in community, and trusting that God's plan will ultimately come through. Crafty Girl mentions here on YouTube, "When I pray, it feels like half of my problem is solved, like a huge weight just lifts off my shoulders. Power of prayer is amazing." And Gaz says on YouTube, "Amazing to remember the whole of the Old Testament." Talking about the Jewish people memorizing. I think the kings had to memorize the first five books off by heart. So the books of Moses. And Jay here, is posted. He preached to people. Yeah, Jesus definitely preached, but he also practiced what he preached. Like he told us to pray the Lord's Prayer. What's the heart of the Lord's Prayer, Brad, from memory? You're obviously familiar with the Lord's Prayer. Like opening part, Our Father, which art in heaven.
Yeah, your name is holy. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth like it is in heaven.
There it is, the will. So even in the prayer that Jesus taught us to practice, he wants us to practice this idea that the will of God is the will in our life. It's the will here on earth. So,
and I was just thinking...
Anyway, we've been going for a fair bit here. You want to wrap this up and get us to a song? Or
yeah, well, I was just going to quickly touch on, you know, what Jay was saying, that Jesus preached to people, because when he did actually go out and speak to people, he wasn't... You know, some people think, oh, Jesus was coming up with an entirely new religion or anything like that. But what was Jesus doing when he would actually speak to people? He would use the Old Testament. He would use the scriptures to say, all right, look at this. And here's what God has told you before. And I want to explain it for you in a way that culturally makes sense to you, so you can actually get what the thing is that God wanted you to understand. He wasn't creating new laws for the most part. I mean, maybe you tell me, if the only instance I can think of is he says, all right, here's a new commandment that I'm giving to you, love each other. And it only seems like a new commandment because you didn't get that the purpose of all the old commands was this in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he was very clear. He didn't come to do away with the laws, and he didn't come to create a new... Look, Jesus is the embodiment of what we call the Jewish faith. He is the economy of the tabernacle, or the system of the temple, the services, the feasts, like the prophets. I mean, Jesus is the center of it all. I mean, when Abraham looks at that sacrifice of his son, and he sees the ram caught in a thicket, and he says, God has provided himself a ram. Jesus responds in his time and says, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. He saw Jesus in that ram. So, there was no, hey, let's create a new religion because the previous ones failed. It was, no, I'm here. This is the embodiment of it, and let's continue. And unfortunately, from a Christian perspective, the Jewish leaders rejected the Messiah. And that was a belief in their time amongst the Jewish people. It wasn't, you know, a Western thing that came along 2,000 years later. So fascinating. Hey, why don't we take a break now? When we come back, we can look at some of the key passages in Christianity that talk about dealing with stress and pain, pain in particular you want to talk about.
Yeah, sure.
And then what I'd love to do is sort of compare the Christian approach to some of the other worldviews. And not to, you know, point down or pull down worldviews that aren't Christian, but to show you what the differences are and why why I became a Christian instead of being a Buddhist, for example. And I've got a lot of Buddhist friends. I've studied Buddhism for a number of years, or a Hindu, or even a Muslim. So, yeah, we'd love to have you stick around. What song are we going to now, Brad?
Yeah, we're going to hear Anna Beden with a song called Expectations. And thank you for everybody who's joining the conversation today. That's why we've kind of been a little bit light on the songs, just because it's been so interesting having this discussion and seeing people's questions that are coming through and trying to see how we can answer them from the Bible. But yeah, let's go to a song now. You're listening to Conversations here on Faith FM. Don't go anywhere, because we'll be back in just a few minutes' time.
Bricks and stones I placed all over you. Heavy burdens till you cannot move.
No.
You're listening to Conversations on Faith FM. Text in your thoughts on 0488 185 00. That's 0488 185 00.
Hey, hey, welcome back. That song you just heard here on Conversations was Anna Beaton with a song called Expectations. And speaking of the text in number, we have had a few messages coming through. One from Mark, who said the number one thing for myself in dealing with stress is reading and listening to Jesus Christ teachings at home, or going for a hit of golf alone while listening to the word, or socially with friends. And that's a really cool thing, Mark. And it ties into what Robbie was saying before, you know, that whole idea of you integrate your relationship with God into your day. It's not just a separate thing that happens at the start of the day and the very end of the day. It's spending time with God throughout whatever it might be that you're doing. So I think that's a really cool thing.
Yeah.
You reckon, absolutely. Robbie, should we give away our free offer now?
Yeah, I was going to say, let's get straight into the free offer, otherwise we're going to miss it again.
Yeah, yeah. So today's free offer is actually something pretty cool. This is a book that Robbie actually wrote. And that's one pretty cool thing. I mean, how often do you get something straight from an author on the show? So it's a book called Finding Peace Amidst the Storm. Robbie, do you want to even just tell us in a couple of words what it's about?
Yeah, so this is a book that I've put together, and it basically it looks at what's happening in most people's lives today, and then looks at the biblical and Christian worldview of how to experiment with the teachings of the Bible to handle the struggles of the day. So we look at I call it the storm within. So the big takeaway is this: how can you live? I'll give you a spoiler alert. There's no taking away of the storm, but there is peace going through the storm. That's the takeaway. So if you think of an analogy, you're on a boat in the middle of the storm, and you know you pray for the storm to go away. That's not what we're talking about in Christianity. That's not talking about in this book. This book is talking about how do you have peace while you're going through that storm. And so, I'll take you on a journey. And each section has a faith experiment where you can basically test it and see if it works or not. See what the Bible teaches and see if it works. Put it into practice. So. So how do I get this book?
Yep. So the way you do it is, if you're in Australia, you want to pull out your phone. And we have a code word for you, an SMS code word that you can text. And once you text the code word, it'll go to a bot, and the bot will ask for some of your details so we can actually get it out to you. And today's code word is C1014. So C for conversations, 1014. And you want to take that code word and text it to our conversation show number, which is 0488 185 00. So one more time, the code word is C1014, and you want to text that code word to our show number 0488 185 00, and that's how you can get your hands on a copy of today's free offer. Pretty easy. Gaz has texted and says, does Robbie do the voice of Arnie on the kids show? Oh, he's thinking of Arnie's shack. No, I don't think. I'd be curious to see if Robbie could pull that off. I do actually know the guy.
I don't know if I could be Arnie or not. It's Arnie's. Anyway, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you'll think, what on the world? Yeah, no, I don't. I'm not him. No, not famous enough to be that person.
Although the guy who actually does it, his name is also Rob. So,
is it really?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Hulliston. Anyway.
I don't know who it is.
Yeah, slightly off topic.
So we got a couple of interesting points here while we were off into the song break, and it was things on the lines of that the people were lucky to see Jesus heal. We can see him heal in our lives today. And I like this comment. It says, that's dope that the word still resonates in 2024. That sure is dope that the word does do that. So let's jump back into the word. Let's look at, before the break, we looked at Jesus's how he handled pain, stress, difficult situations. And we found those three examples. There was the temptation, there was Gethsemane, and there was the cross. And out of that, we learned that he had constant communion with God through prayer. He was well-versed in quoting and reflecting on God's word as a source of power. He had surrounded himself with friends to help encourage him and pray for him. and he ultimately just trusted that God's will and plan was the best. And so we can apply those to our journey in 2024. But let's get a bit more nuanced. Let's get a bit more practical for us today. So we're going to look at Christianity is one of the big worldviews. But there are other worldviews like, you know, I came from atheism, there's Buddhism, there's Islam, there's Hinduism, among others, but they're probably the big four. If we look at Christianity specifically as it contrasts to those other worldviews, I think that might be helpful. So let's pick up a couple of texts here. We won't go through them, we won't have enough time. But in the Apostle Paul says, now I love Apostle Paul. The reason I love him is because he used to be a non-believer of Jesus, in Jesus.
Yep.
He was a staunch opponent of Christianity because he was very staunch Jewish. He was a Pharisee. And he saw the followers of Jesus as sort of undermining the Jewish faith. But what's remarkable with him is that his life was changed when he encountered Jesus in vision. And then he became not just a follower of Jesus, but he became one of the biggest influences in the Christian faith. And most of the New Testament is written by him. So I think it's a powerful testimony to have most of the New Testament written by a person who didn't believe in Jesus in the beginning of his journey. So he writes in a book called 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. He writes this. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion," and this is the part we want to listen to, "and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." Mm. Now, when you read that, what do you take out of that verse, Brad? What stands out in light of our conversation?
I mean, for me, funnily enough, it actually links to something else in Acts. If you're in the book of Acts and you're in chapter, where is it? I think it's in chapter 11. There's this thing where in the early church, there was this a guy who was a Christian who stood up and said, through the Holy Spirit, there's going to be a huge famine that covers the entire world, the entire Roman world. And what did the Christians do in this situation where it was pain and suffering and hardship? They did everything they could. They gave as much as they could. They tried to help and serve as much as they could, sending it to the people who were in need. And, you know, in a funny sense, I guess it's like tying back to what you said, you know, what sort of example is it that Christians are supposed to follow, to set, to do? I think that's exemplified in, you know, what do we see these other people who profess to be followers of Jesus doing? They're willing to sacrifice and give as much as they possibly can in order to just help and serve others.
Yeah. So Paul, that's what Paul's alluding to. He's like, God is going to comfort us in all of our trouble, so that we can be comfort other people.
Yep.
And it's like that. There's a really powerful analogy in Christianity where if you think of the oceans receive from every river and stream on the planet. Mm-hmm. They receive from it. But the reason they receive, and this is an allegory and analogy, but the reason that they receive is so that they can give back. And it comes back, you know, through the evaporation and clouds and going back and rain, and the cycle goes around, right? So the idea is that we receive to give. We don't receive to keep. And so the first thing is this, is that you can get comfort in every tribulation, in every trial, in every difficulty, in every circumstance, but your duty is to give that comfort to someone else as well. And this leads us to the second verse here on this topic. It's from Psalm 34, verse 18. It says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." And then Jesus says, similar in Matthew 11, verse 28, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and you who are burdened." And so this is this idea that you can't do difficulties in Christianity without being connected to God. You just can't do it. And if you want to try and do it without God, then you might as well be any other worldview. Because the whole basis of Christianity is that the God of it is the one who carries you through it. I'm sure you've probably seen this. I saw this years ago when I first became a Christian, this painting or picture or photo, whatever it was, and it just had a single set of footsteps through the sand on the beach. And there's a little quote below it, and it says, God, where were you when my difficulties came? Implying that that set of footprints was me by myself and God wasn't there with me. And the answer from God below it says, I was carrying you. Like, those are footprints are my footprints. I was carrying you through the difficulties. And yeah, this is where we get the imagery from. God's going to comfort us through all the trials. He's close to those who are brokenhearted, and he calls us who are weary and burdened to come to him, and he will give us rest. So that's probably the first really powerful teachings that we find in the New Testament. But that's not where it ends. You could spend the next 2 hours talking about texts where the Bible shows that he's, like, I think of the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, he says, I will carry you on the wings of eagles, you who are weary, and you who and I'll give you rest. He says, I'll uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness, my strength, I'll hold you. And the Bible's just full of these pictures that God is just sitting there waiting, itching to give us strength to go through the storms, not to be removed from the storms. The storms will still be there. The trials will still be there. Difficulties will still be there, but he's going to help us and carry us through it. So if we were to compare this and contrast this to some of the other worldviews, like as an atheist, perspective on pain is that pain is a natural, unavoidable part of life, right?
Yep.
And that's probably not too distant to every other worldview, even as a Christian, right? But there's no, in atheism, there is nothing else. There's no higher purpose. There's no afterlife to provide comfort. And so, coping is often through self-reliance and therapy and willpower and just grit your teeth and get through it.
So to speak, there's no end to the problem of pain. It just continues on, right?
Yeah, that's right. It just, it'll come, it will go, survival of the fittest.
Yep.
If it crushes you, well, you're weak. I mean, that's the ultimate view of it. I mean, I wouldn't have said that directly. Well, actually, yeah, I probably would have. I probably would have said it. So you're just a weak-minded fool. That's why you just, grit your teeth and get through it, So in atheism, it basically comes down to therapy, counseling, however you can navigate anxiety, pills, drugs, addictions. I mean, this is where it all sort of stems from. Now, if you compare it to Buddhism, so in Buddhism, pain and desire, so those two things are very closely linked to each other, they're often viewed as the result of what they call attachment. And attachment is a bad thing in Buddhism because attachment means that you're essentially you're selfish. I mean, I'm simplifying it, but the core is you're selfish.
Yep.
And the goal in Buddhism is to detach. And by detaching, then you achieve enlightenment. And if you achieve enlightenment, then you reduce your suffering because you'd be able to change your mind. And I think I mentioned this once before, another episode we talked about, the biggest problem in Buddhism for me, and I've studied it for many years, and I've got a lot of Buddhist friends, and even they will admit this. The biggest challenge you have in Buddhism is that it doesn't work for everybody.
Yep.
If you ask them who's achieved enlightenment like Buddha has, the answer is really resounding. Well, no one. And they're like, well, why not? I'm just not disciplined enough. And so being disciplined, it comes down to, well, how strong is your willpower? So you've got troubles and trials and tribulations in your life. Well, how strong is your willpower to detach so that you can be free? And so, again, the power comes from within. In atheism, the power comes from within. If we go to Islam, in Islam, pain is about submission to Allah's will, because pain is often seen as a test from Allah, and submission and patience is the absolute key response to pain, because Allah is going to provide a reward for the people who endure suffering. So it's almost like Allah gives pain in order to see how faithful you are. And if you can endure it, then there's a reward at the end of the tunnel, which obviously you can see how that's different to Christianity. In Christianity, God says, no, I'm going to help you through the pain. I'm going to help you through the suffering, which implies very clearly that God didn't cause it and God's not bringing it. Yeah. God's there enduring it with you. So that means the pain and the suffering and the problems is external to God, whereas in Islam, it's painted as being, you know, originating from God.
Yeah.
And then you come down to Hinduism, and Hinduism is centered around this idea of karma and reincarnation. And pain is often seen as a result of past actions or past karma. So if you go through a bad life or bad circumstances, it's because you did something wrong in the past life. And the goal is to transcend that suffering through spiritual practices, and eventually you'll be led into this point of liberation, right? So this is why Buddha came along and created a new religion, because Buddha was Hindu. And Buddha looked at Hinduism as like, this thing doesn't work. It's not creating liberation for the masses, because everyone's suffering because they had a bad past life. And so he came along and threw out Hinduism. I mean, there's a lot of similarities still, but he showed Buddhism as being the alternative to Hinduism.
Okay.
So here's the big takeaway. The difference between Christianity and all other worldviews is this, is that the God of the Bible, the God of creation, the God of eternity, he says, I see your pain, I see your suffering, but I understand what causes it is external. But I'm going to help you. I'm going to step in. I'm going to come into your life, and I'm going to help you through it. I'm going to carry you through it. And there's a conclusion coming. And I guess probably we need to say this just at least in a passing comment, and that is the externalness to trouble and tribulation, anxiety and pain and stress is sin and Satan in the biblical worldview. And that's outside of who and what God is.
Hmm.
And so God is like, he's stepping in and he's navigating us to an ultimate conclusion. So some big thoughts there, Brad.
Yeah.
What do you take away from some of that stuff?
Look, I mean, to me, it makes me think of, there's a particular story in the book of Genesis, and it's in Genesis 15. And this always strikes me as like, you know, you take all those things you were just talking about there, Robbie, and it kind of is a bit of a microcosm of all of that. And so there's this story in Genesis 15 where it says, the sun's going down and Abram fell into a deep sleep and a terrifying darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to Abram, you can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land while they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. And so you think, oh, man, you know, pain and suffering coming, that sounds terrible. But then so Genesis 15 verse 14 says, God says, I will punish the nation that enslaves your descendants, and in the end they will come away with great wealth. After four generations, your descendants will return to this land. Interesting here, for the sins of the Amorites do not yet warrant their destruction. So in terms of this whole conversation, I guess, about pain and, you know, why does God allow pain or anything like that, we see an instance here where God provides some interesting things for us to understand about it. It says, yes, you know, there's going to be times when pain is brought about, but I'm not forcing it on you. You can see that it's a result of the sin and the selfishness of other people and the devil, you know. So that's why, you know, your descendants are going to get oppressed. But at the same time, we can think, well, why on earth, you know, if God is loving, would he allow that to happen? And we actually see at the end there, God says, well, I'm going to allow this to happen because it's like, this is how I have to provide an opportunity for another group of people to choose whether they want to be saved or not.
Right.
And so God is saying, okay, so I have to give people free will because otherwise I'm not loving. And because of that, unfortunately, pain can exist. But equally, with free will comes a choice. And once you make that, once you choose whether you're part of God's kingdom or the enemy's kingdom, God also provides justice. He provides an end to the pain. So, you know, I guess for me in that, like I see in the Christian worldview that it's consistent that pain can exist in a world, in a universe where God is all powerful and loving. But equally, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's the cause of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like that passage just showed, God is prepared for his professed followers to endure hardships, because he's talking about Abraham's descendants here will be a slave in Egypt. He's prepared for that to happen to allow the Amorites time to basically repent.
Yeah.
And when they don't, that's when God decides to bring out the children of Israel and they occupy the promised land and they dispel the Canaanites. So, yeah, fascinating stuff. When we look at this in big picture, the takeaway is this. If the matter is whether you know how you're going to pay for your rates or pay for your rent or whether you are dealing with problems in the workplace, the solution right now is to turn to God and open up the channel of communication. That's step one. And then step two, start digging out the scriptures, looking for those promises to hold on to. In fact, if you claim today's free offer, it will give you some of those clues. So it's you take out your phone, you send a text message, C for conversations, 10 for October, 14 for today's the 14th. So C, 10, 14 altogether. That's 1014 to 0488-185-00. Send a text, C1014, and the SMS bot will ask you for details and you'll get this great resource which will give you some of these promises in scripture to hold on to. Connect with a community of faith. If you don't have one, reach out to us at the station. We'll put you in touch with one. And ultimately, trust that God is in control.
Yep.
So I've enjoyed our conversation today, Brad. Thanks for picking a really interesting topic. And I'm really excited with all the guys and girls who have been texting us in and messages online.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I want to shout out to Gaz, to Billy, to Charles, to some of the others, Ballyhoo, to Crafty Girl, you know, all of these great people who have sent us messages on YouTube, as well as to some of the people who have been texting in, David, Mark, and Frank. Thank you, everybody. And yeah, if there's a topic you'd like us to have a conversation about, maybe it's something challenging or maybe something you're unsure of, let us know. We're keen to delve into it, see what the Bible says, and talk about, you know, how Christians view this whole thing. So yeah. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for connecting with us here on Conversations today. One more time, if you're interested in getting the free giveaway, all you need to do is text C1014 to our show number 0488-185-00. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you again same time next week. Bye for now.